Hey everyone, my name is Damon Janis, founder of Eyes on Investors, where we learn from successful real estate investors, and we're part of Lifestyles Unlimited, which is the education and mentor group for real estate investing. And a big welcome to my guest today, Blake Yarbrough. Blake has been purchasing properties like crazy over the last year or two, actually about a couple of years. We'll talk about that. And I also want to mention that Blake is the owner of Capital Concepts, which is a Texas-based mortgage company, and he provides lending services to real estate investors. So, Blake, welcome to Eyes on Investors.
Well, thanks for having me. I look forward to it.
Excellent. Thank you. We're going to have a great conversation because I have a general idea of all the crazy activity you've been doing over the last while, and I want to know about it. I want to understand it. So let's start by talking about how many properties do you currently own and what have you been doing over the last couple of years?
I drive my wife nuts. Me and my wife, we're a team. We do everything ourselves. It all started about 2.5 years ago. At the end of 08, I started buying some properties so that I would have some tax write-offs. 08 was a good year. Well, February 09 rolled around, and that's when the Dow dropped down to about 6,500. You know, the sky is falling, and my mortgage company lost money that month. And being a husband and a daddy, I figured I had to get out there and start bringing in some other sources of income. Well, here I am. I'm supposed to be the finance expert when it comes to the finance and investment properties, or a finance expert, and I'm making all these other people money. Why am I not making money myself?
Good question.
So, exactly. So I bought these four properties between November and December 08, roughly. February 09 hit. I bought another six properties between February and April of 09. Things were tight. My wife who had quit her dialysis job to raise our family and started having two beautiful children, she was starting to brush off her resume, have to go back to work. I was like, oh man, I'm failing. I haven't provided for my family. Well, about 30 days later, this was in May, I was doing a refinance of all 10 of those properties, 12 doors. I had two duplexes in there, and she saw my net income, net of principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, was going to be right at $5,000 a month. She's like, Blake, well, that's what I would bring home if I wasn't working.
Right.
So we went out there, we bought another five properties, seven doors, bought another two duplexes, and we refinanced those in September, and we've kind of been going on ever since.
So how many properties do you have now after all of this activity?
I'm currently sitting, actually, just jumped from 41 properties, and we were 41 of 41 occupied, by the way, 100% occupancy. And we're talking now in March, so it's less than 2.5 years of buying properties. My wife wanted me to sit on my hands a little bit during the holidays, because she's the one managing them, I'm buying them.
Okay.
And so we kind of cruised through the holidays. Well, she let me kind of took off the reins or whatever, and I started buying again. So I've just recently closed on two more houses within the last roughly 2 weeks, and I'm in contract on four more houses supposed to close within the next few weeks. So that's going to kick me up to, and one of these is a duplex. That's going to be 13 duplexes. That's going to be, I think, 47 rental properties. I've got one I'm buying to be a flip,
okay,
which I've only done one other flip in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's 48, plus my residence and my bay house. I guess if I'm going to push the envelope and sound like a big boy, I got 50 different doors.
50 doors.
Yeah, and it's all single family or duplexes.
Okay. And 13 duplexes, I think, is what I heard you say. So the rest are single family?
Right.
Okay. Excellent. Well, that is a lot of buying and rehabbing and leasing activity over the last 30 months that you've been doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about how, probably the biggest question that's on people's minds that are listening right now is, well, is how did you get the financing to do, to purchase all these properties?
I've been waiting for that question. Now, my niche is finance and investment property. I buy every one of my properties, including my residence that I now live in, and including my bay house, with a hard money loan, followed by a refi.
Okay.
Now, the one thing I've done a little bit different than the average bear is, in 2009, I was buying so many properties so fast, and actually I was buying some other low-income area properties, high cash flow properties. I could absorb the higher interest rate that comes with a commercial mortgage, you know, when you get a 6.5 rate instead of the Fannie Mae rates that are a point and a half lower. So, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I refi those 10 properties into what's called blanket mortgages.
Okay.
Where instead of having, well, in my case, all these different loans, which kind of gets, it's a nightmare trying to keep track of every single one of them.
Yeah.
What I like to do, and I just got the confirmation today for another roughly $520,000 in two blanket loans. I think that's a perfect example. I've rolled most of my blanket mortgages, two or three properties each. And the reason why I do that is so I don't have some big, humongous loan. Sorry, I was thinking my three-year-old son when I said that because he's humongous. Anyway, some big humongous loan. I have a bunch of $250,000 loans, give or take, that I can aggressively pay down, and Dave Ramsey might say snowball, you know.
And so you get one paid off and then take the extra
to the next
money and apply to the next one.
Right. And so that's just what I've done. Now, I've kind of saved my Fannie Mae loans. I only personally have two Fannie mortgages on my personal credit report.
And an investor can only have up to 10 Fannie Mae mortgages, right?
10, correct. And a lot of loan officers don't even know you can still go up to 10 because they listen to one rep at one company that might say, no, we can't do that. Well, yeah, you can. It's just it's the old Maytag repairman. You got to know where to kick.
Okay.
And you know, it's a constant battle because Fannie Mae will let you finance up to 10 finance properties, but not every lender out there is selling that product.
I see.
So anyway, once again, though, we look, for all our clients, I recommend maximizing leverage by using hard money loan and then do an immediate refi as much as you can.
Okay, so on the hard money loan, when you get into the hard money loan, you need to qualify at that point in time for the refi so you know you can get the refi. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, things change, but you know, we're usually looking for certain credit and asset guidelines there and debt ratio.
So how can somebody...
That still doesn't guarantee, I'm sorry, but that still doesn't guarantee what your credit's going to be like in 3 months, but it's insulated. So if you have good credit, your debts are in line, and you have the house rented out, the great thing about investment properties is a lot of people come to me, you know, do I qualify? Well, yeah, you do. In many cases, because the great thing about investment properties, they pay for themselves. Right. By that, I mean a $75,000 mortgage may be $750 a month. But if you rent it out for $1,000 with Fannie Mae, we can use 75% of gross rents.
Okay.
$750 to wash or cancel out that $750 payment. So it has zero net effect on your debt ratio.
Okay. So when you're talking about debt ratio, you mean you're looking at how much income a person has and how much debt they have. And if that gets beyond a certain amount, like there's so much debt and the income is small, then they may say, look, we're not going to lend you any more money. But if they're investment properties, that's actually adding to your income, so your debt ratio stays in balance. Am I understanding that?
You said add. I prefer the term offset, okay, that mortgage payment. It's a little bit, a little changed terminology, but it actually, to me,
makes a difference.
It does. One thing I want to point out about the technique that I use, that a lot of my investors use, is when I was doing a presentation recently, I added up the monies that I have invested through those first 41 properties. And it was roughly $196,000 to buy those 41 properties, but those numbers are skewed. There was one property that I was like almost $60,000 out of pocket.
Okay.
And there was another one that I bought subject to that was about $20,000 because I went in there and totally redid the house. So if you remove those, now we're talking about $120, $130-something out of pocket.
To buy like 39 properties?
Well, yeah, right. But I now have $190,000 a year coming in net of maintenance. So I've got to remove maintenance on that.
Okay.
But, you know, that second year, it looks like I cleared six figures just my second year in buying properties.
That's great. So over $100,000 in income after all your expenses and everything else, the second year that you were doing this.
Right, and I was still buying aggressively during that year. So
okay.
Even with those two houses or two properties that I had roughly $80,000, $70,000 out of pocket on, the 196, 98, if I have 196,000 invested and I got 190 coming in, that's 96% cash on cash returns at a maintenance.
Right.
Coming in.
Right.
So
that's excellent.
So
that's a lot better than 1% in a savings account or something like that at the bank.
Well, and that doesn't even take into account the depreciation, the equity capture. I bought in a down market, so, you know, the appreciation and the many other reasons why we buy real estate. Okay.
So let's talk about equity then. So you've got this great cash flow coming in. You mentioned that what motivated you in the beginning to do this was you saw there were tax benefits from it, et cetera, but now your wife didn't have to go out and get a job because the income from the investments was covering that. It sounds like it's a lot more than that now than what she would have made if she got a job. But how much wealth have you actually created for yourself in equity and capital gains?
You know, equity is a funny thing. To, you know, what do you really value things? What you got book values. You got a bunch of different reasons. But every house I bought with a hard money loan, or a private money loan, and that means I bought it roughly 70% of the fixed up value.
Okay.
I am comfortable in saying I have created over $1 million net worth to my, well, net worth. Sorry. And, but it's kind of weird valuation. I mean, some of my duplexes, I have eight duplexes, about to be a ninth duplex, that a couple years ago sold for $260. Well, I'm buying them for $100 and something, low $100. So
they may not still be worth $260.
But it's built in 2006. You know, is it worth 150, 120, 200? What's it worth? So it's kind of hard to really value that number. I can spit out a number, but I'm pretty confident I could back up the number I just laid out there.
Okay. That's great. And that was done in about a two and a half year period of time.
That was done in 2 years. Now, okay. You know, for the last few months, I've been sitting on my hands. Now I'm starting to go again. And
so the thing about you, Blake, is when you're going, you're dangerous because all you do is create more cash flow and more wealth, and you're, like, unstoppable. So is your wife going to hold you back anymore, or is she just going to let you go?
I really wish you wouldn't have said, does my wife hold me back? I will hear trouble on that one. My wife is a big reason for my success. But
well, we can cut this out of the interview, but
yeah.
She'll have to bribe me for that one.
Now, the biggest paradigm shift is, and I'll probably always consider myself a finance guy, but I think I'm moving from a mortgage broker that buys real estate that invests to an investor that owns a mortgage company. And I think it really helps being able to wear that hat. That way, a majority of people hadn't bought what I've bought in the last 2 years. So I think that's safe to say. And I've been there. I've seen what happens and what doesn't happen. And here's a roadmap. I can show you how I did it. I did it with my products. follow me, welcome to ask about investing during the process, and I'll do everything I can to help them out.
That's excellent, and you've got so much experience in having done this. Let's talk a couple of things I'm really interested in. How are you finding properties is one area I want to talk about, and then how you lease the properties. I know your wife is doing more of the leasing, but let's start with finding. How are you finding properties?
I may have bought about half of my properties through MLS. I mean, I'm a real estate broker, but I've had realtors since semi-sub. Also, I buy properties from what's called wholesalers. And these are people that essentially market direct to the sellers, tie it up, and then they always have to sell it where it fits hard money. So, and these last six, every one of those, except the one that I'm flipping, which was a neighbor, every one of those came from a wholesaler.
Okay.
And it's, now at my point, you know, I've kind of, critical mass may not be the right term, but I have credibility. You know, one called me today, hey, Blake, I got a deal coming up over here. You want it? And I'm like, well, I have something nearby. I'll take a look at it.
Right.
So now I get them thrown at me. But the real difference there is, I mean, I'm just like everybody else. There's a lot of people that have good credit, good money, because the other. But the only thing that differentiates me with that is I took action. I made a decision. I went forward. I guarantee you not every deal was a perfect deal, you know, and I didn't do everything perfect, but I'll take a lot of really good deals.
Sure, because in the aggregate, there's this huge benefit. You don't have to execute perfectly, is what I'm hearing you say.
Right, and I think I'm averaging right at almost $400 per door.
Okay.
So, you know, every one I buy is another car payment. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Right. So you could have, like, up to about, you have about 20 cars now, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, want to.
Yeah. So let's talk about, so another follow-up question on finding properties then. You have credibility now because you've proven to people who are selling, like if they're wholesalers or real estate agents, that if they bring you a really good deal, you have the will and the ability to close and purchase it. What about when you were first starting out? How did you work with people in order to find good deals?
Well, when I first starting out, I was mainly buying from MLS. I've also bought some, like I'm thinking of this one property ad. A guy, good credit, everything's fine. He was moving to another neighborhood. And I bought it from him, gave him cash, bought it subject to the existing mortgage, didn't have to go get it financed.
Right.
Bought it subject to, I had his 15-year note, with seasoned 15-year note, where I was in principal pay down. So I wrote him probably a bigger check than I needed to. But, you know, you've got ways of financing properties like this. There's a lot of other ways of finding property. I mean, like I said, the wholesaler's buying stuff subject to. There's people that are, you know, buy tax foreclosure, you know, tax deeds and all that stuff. I haven't personally gotten into all that.
Yeah.
I've just mainly stayed around. I've bought a handful of subject twos over the years. I currently only have one. And the reason I only have one, it seems like I have to end up, because I like to fix up my houses to really nice, be one of the nicer in the neighborhood. For instance, that one is about $20,000 in pocket when I get finance something with hard money, be $5,000 out of pocket, it might break even until right. I refi it, but that's the big prize when you refi it.
Okay.
And it's quick after. So I don't know if I answered your question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did, and one other thing I wanted to ask you, to help people who are listening to this and they're starting out, what would you advise them to do? How should they get started? And, you know, you have this map now. You've been successful over the last couple of years to do this. What would you say to somebody who wants to accomplish what you've done, but they're looking at it from the beginning point, maybe even feeling overwhelmed, like, wow, I don't know if I can do this?
The only thing I would say is don't get too hung up on paralysis by analysis. You need to get some basic information, build a good team, buy a property within 10, 15 miles, hopefully, where you live, so it's not too far out of whack. I have a couple that are too far away, and it's not practical. On the conversely, I have some that, like, four in the same subdivision section, you know. Always buy with equity and cash flow.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in my opinion, I like to buy with equity because I like to close everyone with a hard money or private money loan.
So when you say buy with equity, you mean make sure there's a lot of equity built into the deal.
Absolutely.
Okay, I see.
I'm sorry. For instance, a $60,000 house that needs $10,000 in repairs, and after $10,000 in repairs, it's worth $100,000. A hard money loan can finance 100% of that
$70,000. Okay.
Because it'll lend 70% of the
$100,000. Right.
Just 70, you needed 60 plus 10, 70. And in that case, which is a typical case, typical property I buy, all you have to do is pay your closing costs out of pocket, roughly $5,000. Now, you're paying high interest rate, and you know, but it's, I'll be breaking even or so until you refinance. And we can do an immediate refinance into a Fannie Mae loan once it's rehabbed and rented.
Okay.
So that's the equity portion that you said, I mentioned. Let me add to that. Some people come to me, hey, I'm fine, it has a lot of cash flow. My fear about that is when you buy something with a lot of cash flow but no real equity, if you got in a financial burden, you had to turn around and sell that property, you would lose money.
Yeah, you'd be upside down.
Right. And you know, there's other investors that invest in, like, different things. But, like, multifamily versus single family, one reason why I started off so aggressively with single family is there's a liquidity function. It's hard to say real estate's liquid, but there's a liquidity function with houses versus some other types of real estate investments. And if you get in a pinch and you have equity, boom, you could sell one and, you know, your family's safe, you able to provide.
Well, and if you're really in a pinch, my experience is that if you're really in a pinch and you need to sell quickly, you could lower, if you have enough equity, you could lower the price down to where you're still making money off it, but it may move very, very quickly.
The other thing, there's so many topics right here. The other thing, if you buy it and you have with equity, and you got a lot of cash flow, well, if the market dips, you're still fine because you're just living that cash flow is what puts steaks on your table every night.
Right.
You know? The equity doesn't really feed you.
It's just out there sitting there and you don't really benefit from it until you sell.
And if the market dips, then there went all that equity you've been sitting on.
Right.
The other side of the coin, if you buy with substantial equity and you need to rent it, you know, the market gets hard and we're in a rental competition with our neighbors. Well, if your neighbor bought this house at $100,000 and you bought it at $70,000 or $75,000, well, you can drop your rent a couple hundred dollars lower than he can just to break even.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a couple of my opinions, but I think they make a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense because what you're saying is if you go into it with really good equity and really good cash flow, you're creating a buffer of safety for yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, you mentioned that you haven't done very many flips, and you're doing one right now. So just briefly, can you give us an idea of why are you doing a flip on this particular deal where pretty much all your other investments have been buy and hold?
It's pretty easy. I'm buying the house for $200,000. And I don't plan on keeping that in a rental portfolio. And so I'm buying it for $200,000, going to put about $50,000 into it, and hopefully sell it a little bit north of $3,000,000.
Okay.
But, you know, you got to take into account, you got your real estate sales costs, you got my holding costs, you got, you know, there's some risk in doing that. I wouldn't mind having a little bit of higher rentals, somewhere in the 100-150 range, personally. I might do something, you know, and I've got my high cash flow properties. I've got my duplexes that are relatively new. It's just the, I wouldn't mind having some decent $150,000 houses and put them, maybe since I have good cash flow, maybe put them on a 15-year note and just have those all as, bank, you know, 15, It's but you know, your real estate portfolio, when you get to a point, you need to start thinking about diversifying it. It's kind of like a stock portfolio. You want your cash flow properties, you want your appreciation plays, and everything in between. So, as one gentleman that owns 10 times what I have, I was talking to him the other day, and he's, you know, saying I need to diversify my areas because I'm mainly in southwest side of town. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's saying if a disaster came through there or whatever
happened, all of his properties would be affected.
Right. So, and touche. I mean, he's a smart guy, and, you know, I'll think about that. But right now, where my properties are, one area is within about 6 miles, the other is about 8 to 10 miles. And then I have some outliers that they don't get the attention quite as much because they're too far away from my.
Right.
So.
Well, a lot of people listening to this are thinking, well, Blake, you know, maybe you're not as diversified as you want to be in the future, but you're still a lot further along than where I'm at. So I want to
buy more. I'll buy some more.
Yeah. So your story is very inspiring, Blake, and it's been really good to find out what you've done and how you've done this. And if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they reach you? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
There's multiple ways to get a hold of me. First and foremost is the phone. My phone number, toll-free, is 877-651-9500.
Okay.
The other is you can visit me online at 4smartmoney.com. That's the number 4smartmoney.com.
All right. Excellent. So if you have any mortgage questions or, you know, you want to understand Blake's map and follow his map, go ahead and get in touch with them. I'm sure I'll be happy to talk with you, right?
Absolutely. I'm trying to get everybody else to do all the hard work so I can battle a little bit.
Well, I'll say this from Damon personally to you, Blake. I want to be like you. I wish I had all the investments you have, and I haven't been as busy as you the last couple of years, but I'm aspiring to it, and you're inspiring me.
Well, dude, the only thing that I've done differently than you is take action. Just start buying, and I've just turned into a buying machine. Because once you get past the first couple, you know, this stuff's really not that hard. I mean, does the numbers work? Or the area near you? And you know, you get used to renting properties out, and it's really not difficult at all. It's pretty simple.
Pretty straightforward. Well, that's exactly what I need to do, and I think a lot of people listening, we just need to get out there and take action, and we'll be successful like you've been. So thanks for your time, Blake, today and talking to me. This has been really helpful, really inspirational. Appreciate it.
Wonderful. I appreciate it, Damon. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.